It has been a difficult year in Zimbabwe, where the economic crisis deepened and the political deadlock showed only the slightest sign of easing. The year ends with hyperinflation, the collapse of the Zimbabwe dollar, high unemployment, rising school fees, and more international isolation than ever. When the year started, Zimbabweans thought things couldn't get any worse, but they did. For most Zimbabweans, just surviving 2003 was a significant challenge. The coordinator of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, John Makunde, says the country is worse off now than it was a year ago.
We have seen more arrests, more beatings. We have in fact seen more human rights violations by the state against the opposition, against civil society, against the public in general. And I would say 2003 has become more difficult for Zimbabweans in all sectors of life than any year previously.
Zimbabwe's economic collapse, which has been going on for some years now, accelerated in 2003. The shortage of foreign currency needed to import essential items got so bad that the government gave up its monopoly on the importation of fuel. It allowed oil companies to import oil products and sell them at what Energy Minister Amos Mizzi called market-related prices. What this has meant for Zimbabweans is more fuel available, but at much higher prices. Some retailers even ask for payment in US dollars, which is against the law. The government tried to control prices of basic commodities to cushion the poor from the high inflation, which reached an estimated 620%. But the price controls put many producers out of business because they could not cover their own costs. This resulted in shortages and the development of high-priced black markets. At various times during the year, Zimbabweans had to spend hours lining up for fuel, bread, cooking oil, flour, sugar, and even money. The high prices meant people needed huge amounts of cash, even for routine shopping, and that resulted in a shortage of banknotes. The crisis was compounded because the government did not have enough foreign currency to buy the paper and ink to print more banknotes. The situation has somewhat improved with the introduction of locally printed large denomination bearer checks, which function just like money. Banker and economist Andy Hodges says the shortages, high inflation and unemployment have left ordinary Zimbabweans unable to maintain even a modest standard of living.
I think it's fair to say that obviously we've had very bad times in the last 12 months. We're a country with a high inflation rate, the parallel market, which obviously has an impact on goods and services. If you look at the wages and salaries of the ordinary man in the street in terms of inflation, in terms of all the price rises around him, it hasn't really matched it at all. It's very disparate. So the ordinary man in the street is definitely worse off.
Many of these issues were carried over from the previous year, but 2003 also saw several new developments. The government forced the country's largest independent daily newspaper, the Daily News, to stop publishing because it had refused to apply for a license under a new media law. The government has ignored court orders allowing the paper to resume publication. Meanwhile, the treason trial of opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai began based on charges that he conspired to assassinate President Robert Mugabe. His two core defendants were acquitted by the High Court, but Mr. Tsvangirai's trial continues. He also faces an additional treason charge for calling a nationwide general strike and marches to protest the government's policies. At the year's end, lines for basic commodities have disappeared, but in some parts of the country, the lines of people receiving food aid from donor agencies are getting longer. Unfortunately for those people, the United Nations World Food Programme announced a few days before Christmas that it would have to cut food rations in Zimbabwe in half because of a lack of donations. About half of Zimbabwe's people depend on those donations because the country's agriculture sector has also collapsed. Zimbabwe used to be a food exporter, but that has changed in recent years because of a combination of continuing drought and the government's chaotic and sometimes violent land reform program. As the year ended, almost 2 months into what is normally the rainy season, the rains have so far been patchy and insufficient. And even if enough rains fall, the majority of the farmers lack the funds to buy seed, fertilizer, and other agricultural requirements. The exodus of Zimbabweans wanting to look for a better life elsewhere also continues. While some go through the legal route of getting visas from the places they want to go to, thousands simply walk across borders into neighboring countries. Meanwhile, Zimbabwe's international relations continued to deteriorate. In early December, President Mugabe withdrew the country from the Commonwealth after it refused to end Zimbabwe's suspension at a summit in Nigeria. The suspension was imposed after the 2002 elections, which Mr. Mugabe won amid widespread charges of violence and fraud. President Mugabe argues that the suspension is racially motivated and the country is better off out of the Commonwealth. Political analyst Henry Dinoshkiwe says the decision to extend Zimbabwe's suspension was wrong.
Those who are directly affected, namely ourselves in Zimbabwe and member countries in the region, felt that further progress could be done while Zimbabwe was within. And it's a better approach for all of us to have the country non-isolated than to have it isolated.
Ironically, Zimbabwe's continued suspension seems to have increased the impetus for the resolution of its problems. 2 weeks after the Nigeria meeting, one of Zimbabwe's chief supporters in the Commonwealth, South African President Thabo Mbeki, visited Harare. He convinced Mr. Mugabe and Mr. Tsvangirai to resume the dialogue between their political parties. It might be a little too early to be overly optimistic that those talks will result in any breakthrough, but analysts believe the economic situation is pushing the government toward reaching an agreement that could include Mr. Mugabe's retirement and new elections. The success or failure of the political talks will likely be the biggest story in troubled Zimbabwe in 2004. Tendai Maphosa for VOA News, Harare.